Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is Scott Fishbowl Week, and I am absolutely pumped. Not only to have Tyler on the show, but to have Justin on the show because Tim is coming back from New Jersey, couldn't make it. He wasn't feeling so hot. He was tired. But we have last year's Scott Fishbowl 8 champion, the singlet wearing, crap talking, no frills draft talking, Sam Lane, aka FF Stompy, on the pod this week because we're going to talk a lot of Scott Fishbowl. So, first of all, Sam, how the hell are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? I really need kind of like the intro music, the wrestling intro music, like John Cena's intro music right here.
You got it.
We don't do music, but I can sing it, yeah.
Yep, you got it.
The other podcast in Minnesota does all the fancy music and Dynasty Trade Calculator. You know, they try to be better than the other Minnesota podcast, but, you know, Hurley, we're coming for you with our actual singing.
Yeah, I like that. I can carry a tune from time to time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Dude, thanks for showing up full leotard and moose knuckle.
Right. I hope if you guys were watching the pod-a-thon, and I hope you did, because it's for a good cause for Fantasy Cares, but I definitely reintroduced myself to those who were watching the pod-a-thon, so you're welcome, everybody out there.
So I have to say, with the leotard, the first time I saw it, when people were zooming in close, it reminded me of Ghost Adventures when they act like they saw an actual ghost face. Like, pause it here. As you can see, there was a figure in the window. It was a face of a man.
And everybody convinces themselves that's what it was.
Yeah.
The thing that I gleaned from that video was that Sam dresses to the left.
That's nice.
This is the hard-hitting analysis people really tune into the podcast for.
It was all that tape watching. That's what I got.
We have 40 minutes of only this.
Yeah, let's analyze Sam's junk real quick.
Oh, man.
All right, he's taking it out. Okay, all right.
Let's not put it under a microscope.
You know, I've heard it all at this point.
I can only imagine, man. You've got a pretty big following. How did that go after winning last year? Like, people come out of the woodworks for you?
That was wild. I think, rocketed up in terms of people who actually know me, which is nice, considering I'm trying to make it in this industry.
That's true, Scott.
And it was a whirlwind of a year, and that was kind of the culmination of everything going on, like SiriusXM with Scott, being able to do things like Pros versus Joes this year.
That's cool.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then even doing like John Bosch's, the Celebrity Eliminators, considering myself a quote unquote celebrity, I'm much more recognizable at this point, and even more so after that video.
So, did you, when you won, did you just turn on your phone, turn up your surround sound in your house, and just throw on A Moment Like This by Kelly Clarkson, I think it is?
Well, believe it or not, so I thought I had lost, and somebody, the guy who had thought he won or got second, what had declared himself the winner, and then there was a stat correction about an hour later. It came down to the last game. It was my Broncos versus the Raiders, and I think it was a Dejon Hamilton first down or a catch that wasn't counted, and I was down by, I believe, 0.5, and I ended up going up by 0.5 or something like that. Maybe it was like 0.2, down by 0.2 and up by 0.3 or something like that.
Who did you play?
It was...
Exactly.
African.
That's why you win.
But yeah, so I was actually in bed because it was like the Monday night game, and I didn't find out until I was just laying in bed looking around at stuff, and I was like, oh, I think I won.
Oh, look at that. I think I won this big ass tournament for fantasy players. Like, this is awesome.
I want to know where the second place guy is, like, now. Okay, like the true life, where are they now type thing.
The dude that won second place was Kurt Holiday at Spring Box FFC, and you beat him by 0.28 points.
There you go.
Wowzers.
Damn.
And I believe it was a half point for a first down or half point PPR. Yeah. I can't remember. And so that stat correction, it was kind of a roller coaster of emotions.
But the funny thing is you're a Broncos fan, and the Bronco not getting a first down won you the Scott Fishbowl. So your team actually helped win you it, which is
he got the first down. I actually had Dejon Hamilton.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah, because I love Dejon Hamilton, right. And he won you. It's your Bronco. I bet you're gonna get a jersey of his.
Yeah.
You're gonna probably send him fan mail photos of this singlet, the singlet.
That would be great. Dejon Hamilton, can you come on our podcast and talk about how you helped me win SFBA? What the hell is that? What is SFBA? Well,
I know you're getting ready for training camp and all that. I know you're busy, but this might be more important if you knew.
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for the first player to jump in on this, though, because we've got actually, like, was it James Rodé last year who played, like, celebrity fantasy players that won in on this? And with
this year, it's crazy. There's the amount of big names players this year.
Yeah. Some baseball players are in it.
So it's only a matter of time before, because especially with the charity element, that an NFL player actually gets involved. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
and
cool
the nice thing is that those guys, you know, all it would take was one to be like, oh, I'm going to drop you like a $20,000 donation. And that would be monstrous. I mean, Scott raised almost 50 grand last year on Fantasy Cares. I was listening to the Podathon earlier. They raised about $4,800 last year in the 24 or 25 hours they were on. They're almost at that number already. And they're like, you know, they're 9 or 10 hours in. So just the momentum. And I think one of the big things last year, to kind of get it on the map was having guys like Matthew Berry joined really late. There was an open spot and Scott was able to get him in. And he's back again this year. You've got, you know, Evan Silva's in it for the first time. You've got guys like JJ Zacharyson, you know, Matt Kelly, all these big names. You've got, I think, Field Yates and Stefania Bell from ESPN are also in it this year. So just
Doug
all the Yahoo people. Yeah, my third year. Let's go. maybe this is the year I take it down, and then I can fly out to Stompy's house. He can let me wear the singlet, and then I'll make a video.
I'll transfer custody of the singlet to you.
You gotta do a heavy gym workout before you give it to me, though.
Yeah, that singlet's really gonna need some therapy.
You set the bar really high for whoever wins it this next year. I mean, people are gonna have to go pretty nuts.
Yeah, no pun intended with that. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of, I mean, getting the belt, it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, all right, I mean, I kind of have to do like the heel turn with the wrestling promo and stuff. And I was like,
everyone's gunning for you, man.
I was like, I'm just going to go balls to the wall here, and I'm going to get like this tight singlet. And my girlfriend actually is the one that made the creative decision to zoom in on my groin. And then
that's all you need to know.
Right. She's a genius.
She's absolutely a winner. She tolerates me. she's going to get a ring soon.
Very
maybe,
nice.
Maybe if I'll get a congrats.
Now, if she does get you a ring, is she going to head over to trophysmack.com and use code DHHRING? That's what we really need to know, because when you do that and you buy a trophy on trophysmack.com and use code DHHRING, you get a free championship ring. So I would tell her that that's the move.
I wonder if I can, if I win again, if I went back to back, that'd be crazy, but I'll do that. I'll tell them to make the ring out to my girlfriend.
There we go. See, perfect.
That was about the smoothest transition, man.
I'm working on it. I have moments where I'm good and I don't. So let's get on to some news, because we are going to talk a little bit of news before we dive back into Scott Fishbowl. It's obviously a very slow time of the year, but we do have some pretty decent fantasy relevant things to bring you this week. So the first one, I'm picking from the 101 in Scott Fishbowl, and we'll go over where we're all picking in our divisions and stuff in a minute. But a lot of people have been in the chat and on Twitter about what are you going to do with the 101 when it comes draft time on Monday morning at 11 a.m. So we were waiting to hear about Ezekiel Elliott. He had a meeting with Roger Goodell about his incident at the music festival where he kind of shoved a security guard. He totally nudged him over.
He looked like he was laying a block on a defensive end coming in.
Yeah, it was bad. So anyway, so he has this meeting with Goodell. They come out and say there is no suspension for Ezekiel Elliott. So a lot of people have now been like, Zeke's my 101. I'll go into what I'm doing a little bit later. But with this news, it's obviously huge because it takes the weight off any drafter's shoulders if you own Zeke. And we'll talk a little bit about Zeke later, so I'm not going to get into too far on it now. But I kind of want to get some feelings on just owning him. I know, Tyler, you and I co-owned a team, and you sent him away for Alvin Kamara and some other stuff, and we had some disputes between us about it. I'm fine with the move now that I look back, but you gave away my Ian Thomas, you SOB, and I'm still kind of upset about that, but I digress. So other news, running back news, is Josh Jacobs is currently holding out, and it looks like he's not going to make rookie training camp. Now, obviously, we all know Jacobs was taken in the first round by the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, and Jacobs is not liking some sort of language in his contract or guaranteed money, so he's just going to hold out. Tyler, what do you think this means for Josh Jacobs if eventually he will come into play? Because let's be honest, this happens every year. There's usually a rookie or two that kind of plays this game and then eventually comes back in. But Tyler, do you think this is going to hurt Jacobs' chances with management or his workload that he's supposedly going to get? They did re-sign Doug Martin after Isaiah Crowell tore his Achilles. They still have Jalen Richard there. Do you still think Jacobs, like, no, you have no doubts, like, just take Jacobs and don't worry about it? Or do you have a little bit of doubt with Jacobs now at all?
I wouldn't worry about it. I think he's probably thinking to himself, hey, look at all these running backs with their second contracts, not getting their money and having to hold out then. So he's probably thinking to himself, hey, might as well get a little more guarantee up front early and protect myself. I don't blame him for it, just because the running back as a position kind of sucks to play if you're a person playing it with money wise. So as a personal standpoint, I don't mind it. And I don't think it's going to affect him, because running back is just come in here, learn what hole we want you to run in and do it. And Jacobs is probably still the best running back on the team. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too worried. And this could actually have him fall in the Scott Fishbowl in some spots. It could have him fall in late rookie drafts. Say Montgomery goes before him, Sanders goes before him. So it could be a good buying opportunity and use that for the trade. So, go and be like, hey, I have David Montgomery, Jacobs is holding out, want to swap? Maybe you add a little extra.
So while we're talking, we have Josh Jacobs on the brain and we have Sam here. So Sam, do you build into any of your strategy for Scott Fishbowl? Do you just kind of rank your rookies as you do with established veterans, or do you target like some of those high potential rookies earlier than maybe you would in a typical draft?
I personally don't. I don't know. I just, there are certain, like, I'll take shots like later round stuff. Last year I took a shot on Kiki Kuti, took another shot on Mark Andrews, like those guys I will, but I would rather especially in those earlier picks. And Josh Jacobs is probably going to go around the third, fourth, fifth round, somewhere around there when running backs are starting to run out. I would rather have a more sure thing than a rookie there in some of those top end players. So I don't personally like taking some of those earlier round guys. I know like N'Keal Harry, I probably won't be interested in. Josh Jacobs, probably not. David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, probably not. Of course, I think all of us have talked about this class and how poor the landing spots are, and they probably won't be good for at least this year, 1 or 2 years. So in terms of that, like Josh Jacobs is the 1.01 in dynasty leagues for me, but I don't know if I'm taking, especially now, I don't know if I'm taking that risk, especially what we, with things that we've seen in the past. Like last year we saw Le'Veon Bell, and that really bit people pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because he was going in the first round in Scott Fishbowl and in the startups. So I'm just not taking that shot, especially in a large tournament where you have to. I get it's high risk, high reward, but for those top end players, I'm not taking that type of shot.
Yeah, and that was me last year. I drafted at the 105, and I ended up taking up Barkley, and it worked out. But that could have totally like tanked me if, you know, taking a rookie with the fifth overall pick. And really believing in him worked out for me, which was great, and my team was successful. But yeah, I mean, if you use an early round pick on a player and it doesn't work out, like you said, it can completely tank you altogether. So, Justin, what do you think about rookies in Scott Fishbowl? Again, is it a late round thing that you want to take some darts on, or if, like, say, a Jacobs started to slide a little bit, are you kind of taking that big gulp and be like, I guess I'll draft him?
I think it really for me is about what position they play. And so the rookie running backs are a little bit easier to swallow in redraft. And so like last year, I wound up taking Kerryon Johnson in the eighth round, and that worked out really well for me. He didn't, you know, get to finish the season because of health reasons, but when I was able to start him, he did well for me. I took a couple other rookies and looking back on it, and it didn't work out. And so this year I'm going to modify that and really avoid rookies more. I think that for us dynasty guys, we really do get into that trap of loving rookies. And when we play redraft, we wind up drafting them too early. And so cautionary tale just to avoid them. But running back is the one spot where opportunity matters so much more. And with rookies, you can actually get some production out of them, especially in situations with like guys like Josh Jacobs, where, you know, the people in front of him are who, you know, that's the question you get whenever you ask. So even guys like David Montgomery, like they ought to have a pretty decent year. Now, I think that there are traps there when you compare them to some of the veterans that they'll go around, and you're really just going to have to, play it by the ADP where you're at, because for one thing, the SFB is going to be completely unpredictable when it comes down to individual leagues. There will be leagues where you can wait on quarterback, and there will be leagues where in the third round it's a wasteland. And so, you know, that pushes all the other positions around. But in general, I'm going to avoid rookies.
Gotcha. Thank you. So a couple other news and notes. Just a quick one. Tyler had to go tend to the kiddo, but John Ross is going to reinvent himself this year. He's changing his number from 15 to 11. And Tyler just told us that he just gave up a fifth round rookie draft pick for John Ross, which I like that move quite a bit. If you look at the depth chart, you've got AJ Green, Tyler Boyd. John Ross did score a handful of touchdowns. Granted, they were all from 3 yards out. So maybe he scores some long ones this year. And John Ross and a guy like Scott Fishbowl, with those video game numbers, those long touchdowns, could be a guy that you can take super duper duper late and possibly, you know, maybe hit a home run with John Ross. I don't think it'll happen, but, you know, some people may think that for the draft cost, if you can get him in the 20th round, then why not? I mean, I looked at my draft earlier, and some of those picks that were in the last couple rounds were just like so brutal. It was so bad. So a guy like John Ross, especially in this scoring format, if he can start to hit home run touchdowns, he could get you some nice points in Scott Fishbowl. So just a side note on Ross. Speaking of Tyler, so he is now back. Laquon Treadwell is in danger of getting cut. This should surprise no one. Tyler, does this surprise you as a Vikings fan?
Not at all. I mean, the guy came in and had horrible work ethic. He didn't really have that chip on his shoulder that he dropped or anything. He just has been kind of not really trying. And the thing is he is a guy that has just kind of fallen, and they drafted a receiver out of Oregon who I like. I forgot his name. It's not Mitchell, maybe. And Dylan then they Mitchell, have, yes. They have Chad Bebe or BB.
Or Bay, just Bay.
Who a lot of people like, including me, who is just the
don't you
the
like typical... Zylstra?
Zylstra, he is good, but he is also very raw.
Can we talk about Stacey Coley?
Stacey Coley is not on the team anymore, so we cannot.
I was just trying to flex my Vikings wide receiver depth chart knowledge.
But no, he... BB is a guy who is going to come in and be the typical slot receiver. You know, the pigmentation, the lunch pail guy, the hard worker.
Adam Thielen, if you will.
The first one in, last one out type guy. But no, in all seriousness, he's like 5'8", 5'10". He's about a 190. Very shifty route runner. And he showed some production later on in the season. I think he's going to build off that. He's 25 years old at the moment, so he may be a little older. He's older for a rookie. But that doesn't bother me with receivers like him. And he's got an opportunity to show. And also they have a guy named Irv Smith who can also play that flex tight end type where he can just catch passes from the slot, kind of like Evan Engram.
Be like that move tight end possibly. So you're saying that BB just needs a shot. Yeah, joke for you, Tyler. Come on.
That was fun.
See, Sam liked it.
That was fun. That was fun.
So the last bit of news is all around Buffalo. There's three clips of news. I'll go over them all at once, and then we'll throw it to Justin and get some thoughts. So the first one was Josh Allen refers to Cole Beasley as his safety valve. The other one was LeSean McCoy begged the team to add Frank Gore in the offseason, which I thought was interesting. I guess they're buddies, apparently. And last but not least, I keep hearing great things about my man, George Kittle 2.0. Dawson Knox could be the week one starter with Tyler Croft's bundled ankle. I'll tell you right now, if you're in my division in Scott Fishbowl, I am drafting Dawson Knox late, and I'm going to reap the goddamn rewards all season long because I believe in Dawson Knox. So that's where I'm at. So, Justin, what do you think about all this Bills news? Anything to glean out of it, or are you just kind of like, it's the Bills?
Okay, so first off, always the Bills. But Cole Beasley is a safety valve. He was a safety valve for Tony Romo. He was at times whenever they would utilize him correctly for Dak Prescott. He is always there, and he has ridiculous catching ability. He made some circus catches for the Cowboys. So even – and I'm getting to Josh Allen's short area accuracy. Even if he struggles with that, Cole Beasley can get it. And so he is a great late round target just based on the fact that he's going to have the receptions. And even in the Scott Fishbowl, he ought to be able to rack up some decent points based on his first down abilities. So he will be a target of mine late. Let's see. Your guy, Dawson Knox. I mean, there's a lot of targets wide open there, and it's anybody's game. So who knows what happens there?
I think the 28 Charles Clay got are completely wide open for him now. So
yeah, it's not a prolific offense, but whenever you're talking about your last pick in the draft, I mean, there is some upside there. And then finally with Frank Gore, he will never die because he feeds off of our doubt. And so LeSean McCoy asking for him to come. Yeah, it probably is a matter of friendship, but also, you know, these
to
two guys
are the secret.
Yeah, that's probably too, because LeSean, you know, he wants to make it last as well. But really, fantasy wise, it's going to be a wash. They're gonna you know, sap each other's value. But neither one of them were putting up circus numbers anymore, anyways. So the Bills are the team that you take at the last couple few rounds, and you know, there's going to be people that draft them a little bit earlier, hoping for some upside. But really, that offense is going to have to turn around quite a bit for that to happen. And I don't see it being one of those really big upside plays. They've got good players, but they just don't have that prolific offense.
Yeah. And I love Dawson Knox. So I can't knock
with Dawson Knox is there's been a steady drumbeat all offseason about how he's building rapport with Josh Allen, how he's mastering the playbook. There's just every week there seems to be some sort of new Roto-World blurb about Dawson Knox. So where there's smoke, you know, sometimes there's fire. And I own Knox in almost all my dynasty leagues because I just loved him. Tim and I were big Knox fans throughout the process. So I would love to see that happen. And he's a great late round tight end, especially in your premium tight end premium formats like
good old Dawson Creek Knox.
Yes.
I mean, do you really want to trust anybody in that offense? I mean, any pass catchers?
Trust? No. I think, you know, I think that's kind of baked into their ADP. Okay. So when you look at all these new guys, so they've got new offensive line pieces, they've got all these new receivers. So you don't really know what to look at. I mean, a lot of people are like pro Robert Foster, and then some people are like, no, Zay Jones, and then no, Cole Beasley, and no, John Brown, and you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it's one of those things, like, at their ADPs, I think that's all baked in, and you can actually probably even get them later in some of the different formats as well. So I'm willing to take them there, but I'm not banking on them. I'd bank on any of these guys to be like a bye week starter, to be honest. But if I'm forced to start them, then I know I'm in trouble.
Trust is a strong word for them.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys, like, you know, you pick up Robert Foster at the end of the year last year, you pick up Isaiah McKenzie, and they put up some points for you. And really, they're good for the last spot when you've had some injuries and you want someone that's got that upside for a random touchdown. And so, like, I kind of view the bottom tier teams that way, especially if you wind up drafting heavy in a single position in a redraft league or something. And I mean, there's a lot of starting positions in the Scott Fishbowl. So you're going to be starting people you don't trust. And what we might see in a team like Buffalo is someone emerge as dependable. And so if Cole Beasley does turn out to be that safety valve and he has the weekly upside of 4 receptions, 45 to 50, hey, there's bonus points, yards, and, you know, a touchdown every third game, like that's a startable flex play.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned redraft leagues, Justin, because if you're looking for a draft kit, it is the first week of July, and ultimatedraftkit.com is where you want to go. It's a draft kit by the Fantasy Footballers, one of the best in the industry. And we have an exclusive code through Dynasty Happy Hour that you can save you 10%. And that code is DHH10. So make sure when you go on there, you sign up, use code DHH10, and then it'll prompt you to download the app, which is one of the slickest fantasy football apps out there, period. Whether it's a draft kit, a calculator, anything. It's absolutely awesome. You can do tons of stuff on there. Matt Harmon's reception perception is on there, just start, sit, sleepers, rankings, and it's not like a magazine. Like, if I was in the Walmart today looking at to get some stuff for the house, and I happened to go by the magazine section, and I was like, wow, look at all these fantasy football magazines. I remember when I used to buy those. Now I don't touch them because they're outdated in a week. So you can go on ultimatedraftkit.com. The rankings are all fluid, all the news is fluid. As it happens, it'll be impacted on the app. Code DHH10. Make sure you get that right now. So let's get into Scott Fishbowl. It's strategy time. Stompy, I'm going to let you kick us off because you're the champ, so you should go first. So what I want to know is, what division are you in? Where are you drafting from? And if everything plays out the way you want it to, who's the player that you want to get with your first pick? And give me some players that are your guys that you want to reach a little bit to get because you believe in them this year that they could pay off huge, especially in a tournament like this. You need those guys.
So you are asking me to give away my strategy?
Well, just some of it.
So I'm in the PlayStation Classics Conference in the Kratos division. And I have to give a shout out to the FF Statistics graphics team. They made a really awesome graphic for me that basically transitions my face into old man Kratos's face, and it's awesome.
Have you ever played God of War?
Yes, I made sure to choose this because he's my favorite PlayStation character.
Second thing, how was the new one?
I loved it.
It looked awesome.
Like, okay. It continues like a storyline, but it plays differently because, like, you know, in the first 3 or 4 you basically it's go destroy everything. Well, this one's more story driven than that.
So I have a PlayStation 4 and I have never played a God of War game.
Oh
really?
And what's wrong with
you? Yes, you do. Very much so. But I pick 11th, which not ideal. I don't think picking on either of the turns is ideal, but I mean, I can't really change it. So I honestly, I would love to get the one of the top four running backs that I think all of us have in their top four with Zeke, Saquon, CMC, and Kamara. But obviously can't do that. For me, the best strategy is to go running back early. And I'm going to use, so Addison Hayes of FF Statistics made a database for the Scott Fishbowl scoring. And it's with every player from 2000. And you can pay for it. It's a dollar on ffstatistics.com, and the dollar goes to Fantasy Cares. So pretty cheap, and it goes to a good cause. So go, if you haven't already, go get that. But looking at this, if you sort by just the Scott Fishbowl points, it's basically all running backs, a QB here and there. And then the first wide receiver doesn't show up until he is the 39th player off the board or in this list. And they're just like dispersed here and there, but it's mostly running backs. And I think that's how you win it. That's how I won it last year. And it's effectively the same scoring, except for you have those video game bonus points, or those big play bonus points. And I think really you have to go early running back. And on the turn where the guys that'll be around there, I'm looking at guys like Nick Chubb, maybe Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook. I don't know if DJ will drop down there. James Conner's another one that's a good one that'll go around there. But I think the guys that will excel in this scoring format will be the pass catching running backs. And I think that's just true in general of most PPR type scoring. So I really, if I had my druthers on the turn, I think I'm going to go, I want to go Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. And I know that kind of goes away from what I just said about PPR backs, but I think Nick Chubb, especially with the news about Kareem Hunt possibly getting in trouble again or being involved in a bar fight, he could end up being a 1500 plus guy or rushing yard guy and plus double digit touchdowns with that offense. And I think that is the best way to go. So it'll be a combination of Mixon, Chubb, Mixon, DJ, if DJ falls, which I don't think he will. Maybe Gurley in there, but I just don't know if I want to take that chance with Gurley on that turn.
But this is the league, Dave. You're going to take a shot, though.
Yeah, I know,
that's also a guy in the first or second round that it could absolutely destroy team.
This is an example that I was talking about when we were talking about Josh Jacobs, is with those first few picks, I don't know if I want to take that leap. Like, I know for sure that Mixon, especially after last year, will have another good year, and especially with hopefully a better offense with Zach Taylor there. With Chubb, we saw what he could do last year. And I think he takes another step forward this year.
There
are some questions about Kareem Hunt, but I'm not that afraid of Kareem Hunt, because I still think that we saw what Chubb can do. I mean, that one game where didn't he have two touchdowns? He had a 75-yard touchdown.
Three rushes carries. For 100, and I want to say 3 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah, and I believe it was against the Raiders, but that's the kind of stuff that you're talking about, is those are those home run plays that Chubb can do. He's got that speed. People forget that, didn't he run a 4.440 last year? Maybe a
4.53.
And
or a 4.51.
He basically finished just behind Saquon Barkley in every metric at the combine. And he's a physical freak. And I think he's the best. He might arguably be, him and Zeke, be the best pure running backs, pure runners at running back in the league.
Absolutely.
And I think that he could be a potential 1,500 plus rushing yard guy. And then if you add, let's just say a couple hundred yards through the air, if he's going to be on the field that often, then you're talking about a top 10, top 8, maybe even top 5 running back.
I want to piggyback off that. People forget Nick Chubb caught fire later on in the year, and they're all worried about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt has 8 games. He's got to sit And Chubb has eight games where he can just light the league on fire. And the Browns are going to be like, we can't take this guy off the field. If we take him off the field, we are going to be stupid. So the Browns could be in a position come week nine. And Chubb's probably like, what? He could have easily over 1,000 yards rushing at that point. Mm-hmm. And they could be like, we can't put Kareem Hunt in. Chubb is the heart and soul of this offense right now. We are running through Nick Chubb, and we can't just derail that train. So it all depends on Chubb, and Chubb is a guy, I think mentally, that's like, no, this is my job. You're going to come in and you're going to sit behind me when you come back.
And on paper, it's a better offense this year, likely to score more touchdowns.
Yep.
I loved Chubb last year. And I think like I said, he's going to take a gigantic step forward this season.
Yep.
I like it. Do you have a couple late round targets that you're maybe looking to get?
Yeah. So I recently wrote a thread about Albert Wilson. And I actually have a bet with Liz Loza of Yahoo that Albert Wilson will be a top 24 wide receiver.
Ooh,
wow. This year. I won't go into too much detail, but basically it's the Patriots offensive scheme with Chad O'Shea and Brian Flores, which we know targets the slot receivers well, or a lot. I mean, with Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, Albert Wilson was one of, if not the best, pass catchers out of the slot last season, even though he only played, I believe, like 28% of his snaps from the slot because Danny Amendola is there. Well, Amendola is no longer there. So he's kind of got the right of way, or not the right of way, but a lot of targets from the slot coming, hopefully. And then he was on a career year trajectory last year before he got derailed by hip injury. And I think that's why he's dropping a lot, is because of that hip injury. But I really do think he has a legitimate shot at being a wide receiver, a top 24 wide receiver this season.
Yeah, his yards after the catch last year were, I think, at the time, they led the NFL, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So there's definitely some juice to like there, and hopefully get the squeeze. So I'll go next. I am in the miscellaneous conference, so very sexy. and I am in the Tifa division. Now, if you don't know who Tifa is and you have never played Final Fantasy VII, she is one of the main characters in Final Fantasy VII, so I'm in Tifa. I am picking at the 101. So we talked about Zeke earlier, and he seems to be coming in at the consensus 101 in the group chat that I'm in. I'm not taking Zeke. I'm not taking Barkley. I'm taking Christian McCaffrey. So the reason I'm taking McCaffrey over Zeke is twofold for me. So one, I own Zeke in just a ton of dynasty leagues. The other thing is, I just can't get out of my head if something from tomorrow until the beginning of the season happens with Zeke and he gets suspended. Not only will it tank my Scott Fishbowl, it'll tank half my dynasty leagues. And I just remember 2 years ago when we went back and forth with the, is Zeke going to play this Sunday? Oh yeah, he's playing. Now he's suspended 2 weeks. Now he's playing again. That was so stressful. I would literally want to quit fantasy football if Zeke was missing all this time on all these teams. I get the argument for him. You know, once Amari Cooper got there, he saw an increase in targets. He caught a lot of passes. The offensive line is going to be healthier this year. Like, he's an amazing running back, and I don't disagree with that. To me, McCaffrey is the safer play. No off-the-field issues. He's going to catch 100 balls probably again. The thing with McCaffrey that we didn't see last year that he was known for in Stanford, we didn't see it in his rookie year until the playoffs when he played against the Saints, was that home run hitting ability. So he didn't have a long touchdown in his rookie year until the playoff game against New Orleans. And then last year we saw it a couple times. But I think McCaffrey, I think the one thing that people are forgetting about, not necessarily the scoring format, is that McCaffrey is a home run hitter. And I think we're going to see more of that this year. You know, there's going to be a healthy Cam Newton. I think that shoulder is going to be perfectly fine. They've got more weapons in the passing game. McCaffrey's going to have a little bit more room to run. They invested in that offensive line, and it should be improved over last year. They didn't bring in anybody. I mean, they drafted Jordan Scarlett. They got Elijah Holyfield. Like, there's no one there to compete with Christian McCaffrey in terms of touches. He's going to be on the field for just a huge percentage of the snaps. And his injury history, he doesn't get hurt. Knock on wood. There, I did.
Yikes.
You know, I know
Barkley. You heard it here, don't draft CMC. trade right. him.
I know Barkley is a very popular 101 pick. I drafted him at the 105 last year. My reasoning not for not taking Barkley is I think they're going to struggle to score for the Giants. So I don't think the scoring opportunities are going to be there nearly as much as they were last year. Barkley's going to get a ton of yardage, but all they got to do is stack the box. Are you really going to like, hey, stop Barkley. Eli's not going to beat you. So, you know, I'm going to go with CMC. Now at the turn, you know, Sam talked about Nick Chubb. Now I've seen a lot of mock draft data, which I take with a very, very large grain of salt because I know when the lights are on tomorrow, things are going to be completely different. I don't go into Scott Fishbowl with a set strategy because it won't work. Like Justin said, it's super unpredictable. Crazy things are going to happen. So for me, at the turn on that 2-3, it seems like some of the popular names that have been there in some of these mock drafts have been Nick Chubb in some of them. Dalvin Cook, Mike Evans, guys like that at the 2-3 turn. Now, if I could walk away at the 101 and take McCaffrey, some combination of Chubb and Cook and a guy like Mike Evans, I would be extremely happy.
Yeah. Now I have the 101 too, and we're in that same chat. And yeah, I'm right there with you. And you know, hearing Stompy say that he's going to be taking Chubb at the, you know, back end of the first really is frustrating because I was hoping he'd fall in more leagues. But I bet you that, I mean, obviously we're in a league with a gob ton of sharks, so he probably won't fall like the ADP is showing. But if he does, like you said, I'm gonna be jumping all over that because the well on running backs dries up really quick.
It does. And you know, the thing that you have to be careful in the Superflex format too, like last year I went in the first round, I took Barkley, then I took Kelsey, then I took Tom Brady in the third because quarterbacks were starting to really come off the board. And that's what I'm always afraid of is that in these Superflex leagues, like tight end, I don't care as much about. Like if I get one of the big three, cool. Like maybe I walk away with McCaffrey, Chubb or Cook, and Kittle. Like if it ends up that way, I'm cool with that too. Tight end outside of the top three, I'll just draft one later. That doesn't really bother me. I'll throw the darts on Dawson Knox, Darren Waller, super late, and I'll get some solid guys like a Mark Andrews in round 13, and I'll patchwork it that way and be fine. But with quarterbacks, the thing about Scott Fishbowl, you never want to be on the end of that run because then you feel that pressure to be like, you play with fire, especially at the 101 because you're waiting 20 some odd picks. So for me, ideally, I would like to get both my quarterbacks out of the way at the 4 or 5 turn. If I can't do that, and maybe quarterbacks aren't going, I take one in the fourth. I take best player available in the fifth, and then I take a quarterback in the sixth or seventh. And I'm fine with that too. It just all depends. I remember last year there was a span of, I think, 25 picks and 12 quarterbacks went. And it was like, oh boy, it's getting real ugly real fast. And I ended up getting Andrew Luck in the fourth round, which he was coming off the shoulder thing. No one really knew what Andrew Luck was going to be. And he helped get me to win the division in Scott Fishbowl 8 last year, which was awesome. But yeah, so that's the thing that I'm cognizant about is just trying to strategize around quarterbacks. I'm not comfortable taking like, oh, well, this guy's going to be a starter late because that didn't work well for me last year with Tyrod Taylor. I took Josh Allen late and that worked. But, you know, that's the thing that makes me nervous. I feel that I can do well enough in running back, wide receiver, and tight end, but it's the quarterback piece that I'm just cognizant of. Like I said, I don't build a strategy around it, but I'm cognizant of where these quarterbacks are going to start to fall or trying to project like, all right, I don't pick it again for 20 picks. If I don't pick one here, what's it going to look like next time around? So that's what I try to look for. The other stuff I'm good. As far as late round players that I really want in Scott Fishbowl, the one big one for me is Curtis Samuel. Everyone that listens to this podcast knows that I love Curtis Samuel. Dante Pettis is another one that I'm going to try to target towards you get to the late single digit rounds, early double digits. He might be there too. So those are two guys that I want to try to get at the wide receiver position. Running backs, I really like Jalen Samuels because I don't think that James Conner is going to carry the big load there. And I think that they're going to split it. And if Conner goes down, I know Benny Snell is there, but I think Jalen Samuels can do it all for them. So I'm going to try to get Jalen Samuels late at the running back position. And then tight end, we all know I'm going to go after Dawson Knox, but I'm also going to try to target Josh Oliver and Mark Andrews. They're two younger tight ends that I really like as well, because Josh Oliver, all he has to do is beat something called Jeff Swaim for a job. He's been looking good in the offseason. He's athletic. He's got college production. Nick Foles loves the tight end. So give me Josh Oliver late. And Mark Andrews, I think if there's any pass catcher out of that Baltimore offense that I want anything to do with, it's him.
I don't think you're getting him cheap, though. I think he's gonna he'll probably go earlier than expected in Scott Fishbowl.
He might. But if he goes early double-digit rounds, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
By the way, Curtis Samuel, Matt Harmon thinks Curtis Samuel is a wide receiver one for Carolina.
Back in October, I was screaming from the rooftops, go buy Curtis Samuel. And I bought him in every league that I'm in. I pretty much traded Julian Edelman straight up for Curtis Samuel. Now, this is a league that I'm not competing in. I traded a draft pick and some players for Samuel. I actually did trade Samuel away from one of my teams in the past week because I have really big wide receiver depth. And the thing that I try not to do in Dynasty is get too overweight on a player. So I had Curtis Samuel in almost every single Dynasty league. So I was like, all right, I have a tight end need. I could use some picks for that 2020 class. So I ended up trading Samuel for Josh Oliver and a couple of draft picks and pigs too. I may not have got 100% value, but it was the one place where I felt comfortable enough where I could trade him in because he wasn't going to be a huge part of my team, at least in the next couple of years because my wide receiver depth was so good. But I obviously could have held him and then traded him for more, but I needed some tight end help. And I think Oliver, I had an empty taxi spot, and I think he's a guy that I could call up to my regular squad this year and get me up for a little bit further playoff push in pigs. So Justin, we're going to go to you next because Tyler, he's pondering. So we're going to let him ponder. Christian ponder, if you will.
you can't say that name up here. Sorry. You just can't.
I just did.
It's going to have to be bleeped out. So I am in the Icons division and I am in the Master Chief.
Ooh.
Yeah, Master Chief.
I hate you.
I'm a boss. And I get to play with Evan Silva and Keaton Dinlay and a whole bunch of other great guys. Evan Silva, this is the first time he's gotten to be in it. I know I saw something that he'd been working with Scott to try and get in for like 3 years. And not to get in, but to make it work with his schedule. And so it finally did. So I'm pumped to be in his division. Now, 101, I think that I am right there with you whenever it comes down to Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not going to lie. This is also something I want to have fun with. So I might take Zeke because I'm a Cowboys fan. And he hit the bonus. He would have hit the bonus points the most of anybody last year. Mm-hmm. There was only, I believe, one game where he didn't hit the bonus points. And then I think, was it McCaffrey and Kamara missed out on it three times or something like
that? McCaffrey had the second most, I think.
Yeah, it's something like they're all right there. And I mean, we're talking, that's going to fluctuate just like everything else does because we are still talking about arbitrary thresholds that we're wanting these players to meet. And so it's really just a matter of how their year goes. So like what you talked about with Cam Newton and his shoulder and being back healthy and what that does for the offense, really that can have more of an impact on Christian McCaffrey than whether or not Ezekiel Elliott getting all those bonuses is going to repeat. So there's so much of that goes on. And I love that you mentioned that the pass catching running backs get a little extra edge because of that, because there's always the chance that they can get that 50 points and get that little bonus bump. I'm right there with you on the second and third turn that I'm really hoping for some running backs to drop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things too, where you just have to go with the flow like we've talked about. But I think the big kicker this year is going to be the bonus points and how they really are going to throw things like, you know, we've talked about the video game numbers that he's going for. It's going to be really frustrating because, you know, the way that Stompy talked about, you know, just a stat correction being what the difference between winning or losing the whole thing. We're going to talk about games where we lose based on 1 yard, where someone breaks the 49 to 50 points and they get an extra 5 point bonus. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't personally like to play in leagues like this in Dynasty. I would never in a Dynasty league. And I wouldn't in a redraft on a regular basis, just because it's one of those, like the way that people argue about receptions being arbitrary or points per carry being arbitrary, whether you agree with that or not, this is absolutely arbitrary. And so while I love that it's that way for the Scott Fishbowl and that it's something that's going to just add to the confusion and to the fun, we're going to have to sit back and realize that it is going to be not random, but pretty damn close to random whenever it happens with people. So I really want to hear what Stompy has to think about those, the bonus points.
Well, I mean, I think it is kind of, I guess, random. I'm not changing my strategy by any means for them. Yeah, Tyreek.
I might change my strategy on who I start at the back end of my rosters for it.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, and really, you could look at guys like, let's say Robert Foster might be a good late round target because we saw him have some of those big plays at the end of
Traquan Smith.
Yeah. Dejon Jackson's another one. It's almost like it's a best ball type of thing. Tyreek Hill might get a slight bump. But yeah, I mean, in general, I don't think it should really change your strategy. There are some quarterbacks, which I'm not going to mention here, though if you follow me at all, you know what quarterback I really, really love. But I mean, those rushing quarterbacks, and you, Doug, you were talking about some of those quarterbacks that you don't want to miss out on. But if you really look at some of these rushing quarterbacks, like Mitch Trubisky is probably a guy that's being really underrated in terms of this format. And he could be a later round guy that you could grab, and he could end up being a monster for you because he's got that underrated rushing upside. I mean, there's other rushing quarterbacks that, again, not going to mention here because I don't want to give away.
It was like those guys like Blake Bortles a few years ago with those sneaky rushing yards. Like you look up and like he really rushed for like almost 400 yards.
Yeah. And like Kyler Murray's another guy that it's like, well, I mean, are you going to trust a rookie quarterback? But the dude's got that rushing upside that if he gets 50 rushing yards, he gets that 5-point bump. So maybe there's a slight shift in strategy within position specifically at quarterback. And maybe that's a good point Justin made, is you look at like some players that you like and you're like, well, this, I like all three of this guys, but the tie break might be the, well, we know this guy's more of a home run hitter, or he's got that speed and I can use that with these bonus points.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, thanks for your insight on that. Tyler looks bored, so let's bring Tyler back up to there. He is. Let's bring Tyler back to the mic. Tyler, give me conference, division, where you're drafting from, and let's talk some of your strategy.
If you actually thought I was bored, or maybe I was writing down advice to sell to your league mates.
Oh, a little side business, a little side hustle you got going on there. Yeah, you know, you're from Minnesota. You don't do things like that.
No, I don't. I was actually trying to warn you guys about you guys giving advice.
Oh, it's fine.
All right, I'm in Banjo and Kazooie division. Scott Very nice. Fishbowl 9. I have people like Renee Miller from Roto World, a couple DLF people, and Nick Calzinis and Michael Moore. Yeah, UTH, Tim Torch, our old buddy pal over, you know, here at DHH, who originated with us and then went to them, going for two. Ryan Kerfoss. I should be careful about saying his name. Fantasy guru Corey Parson, myself, and some fans: Richard Beaumier, Matt Malley, David Turnall.
Ryan, hold on. I'm not gonna let that horrendous, whatever dad joke that was, go
Kerfoss.
Kerfoss, about how I pronounced his name. What was
Did you chuckle a little bit after I said it? Then it worked. I mean, that's what it's supposed to do.
But I'll give you that, because that was really bad. That was real bad.
that was bad, but good. No, it was actually bad. I'm drafting from 103, and we all talked about the running backs. I'm actually, I want to see who's left and who I have. Like, if it's like a Barkley, Kamara, or is it going to be Zeke and Kamara, or a Christian McCaffrey, Kamara? I would like to pre-draft, but I would like to kind of go over my options. I'll probably take a couple of minutes to go over it, but I'm excited to have one of the top four running backs. I know last year, I think I drafted from 103. I made it to the second week in the playoffs and then was booted out. I think I was top 200 in scoring for for the whole year until playoffs hit. So I had a decent year, but this year with the bonuses, all I keep thinking of is like, can I have Adrian Peterson in his prime? Because that dude was all about those bonuses. I mean, he would have like 2 yards, 2 yards, and all of a sudden there's an 80-yard touchdown. Boom, you got that bonus. So I keep thinking to myself, what are running backs like that that are going to get that? And it brings me back to what Stompy said about Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb is probably one of those guys that for a while, like AP was the guy where you're like, okay, when is this coming? When is this big run coming? Because it's going to happen. And Nick Chubb has been one of the first running backs I've actually felt that way since AP. Like, okay, he's had a couple 5 yard runs, a couple 3 yard runs. When is this big run coming? Because it's going to happen. So Nick Chubb, I kind of wish I was drafting more Stompies, because I would love to get myself some mix in Nick Chubb.
I love that comparison, because that's exactly how I feel about him. I mean, the dude, and I remember, I went to school in South Dakota, watched a lot of Minnesota games, and I remember you would see AP, like the three, like five, he would just not get those big runs, and then he would explode. And that's the type of runner Nick is. He's just powerful and he's fast.
Yep. Yeah. The second there's probably like 2 feet and you see Nick Chubb hit it, there hasn't been many players in my lifetime where I've actually been like, oh, nope, he's gone. Like, that's it. And AP was the one that's like, okay, he's got two people to beat, no problem, he's gone. And it's fun to watch. And like Justin was saying with Zeke, it's fun to own players that you want to cheer for in a league like this. It's for charity. Yeah, we all want to win, but do I want a guy that I absolutely hate, Aaron Jones? But I don't know. I don't know if I do. I got not Doug. Cool. No, I have Aaron Jones in a league because I had to, just in case you were right. I mean, chances are no, but I had
you'll,
to. Do
you'll
it,
you'll
Doug,
thank me
you.
Later.
But no, and it's for fun, it's for charity. So my strategy is hopefully get one of the players that I like Barkley, I'd love to have, any of those guys I'd love to have. But the turn is going to be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see where the running backs are, the landscape. If one of the big three tight ends are there, maybe I want to go Evan Ingram. But it'll be interesting how many quarterbacks are taken, and if there's maybe one or two, that's where I might look. Just to start the quarterback run, like Doug was saying, you'd want to be the start of a run before being the end of it. It sucks being at the end of a run because you're panicking. You're sitting there, oh crap, I got Joe Flacco and Nick Foles as my quarterbacks because I was dead last on the run. If I could get a guy like a Carson Wentz in the second, which I probably will easily. Maybe Andrew Luck is there at the end of the second. And then I got the turn, then I can go back to running back and then maybe go back to quarterback in the fifth. That might be where I'm looking, but I'm going to try to stay water. And that is my strategy. I don't want to be stuck to a strategy, kind of like how in startups, you don't want to be stuck to a strategy. Everything's going to be different. I mean, Tim Torch is in here. I know Tim is a big quarterback guy. Maybe Tim will go for quarterbacks early and that will drop some of the running backs. Who knows? It'll be fun. All I know is I'm very excited to start this. And best of luck to everybody. And even you, Stompy. I know everybody's coming for you. You are the champ. We have the belt hanging from the top of the ring. Just everybody's grabbing for it. And
ooh, a ladder match. Nice.
Yeah. But then we all look up, and there's Stompy in his singlet standing on top of the ladder. I mean, I think people are still going to reach for it.
I'm going to win back to back, and it's going to be called the Stompy Bowl from now on. By the way, I want to throw one more name out here for a late round guy, Damian Harris. And this is going to be a
yes. Fire take.
And it's not shade on Sony Michel per se. Yes, we do. We have to be concerned about Sony Michel's knees, and I think Damian Harris can be a league winner this year, a Scott Fishbowl champion winner, if you will, because with the way that the Patriots always win that division, and that division is looking to be relatively weak still, they could wrap up that division early and choose to either slow Sony Michel's role or just give Damian Harris those carries. And if that's the case and Damian Harris becomes a 15 to 20 carry guy at the end of the season, and not to mention that you have insurance for Sony Michel's knees, he could end up being tremendous value at the back end of drafts.
So to piggyback off that, I want to give some of my late round guys. Alexander Mattison, if I own Delvin Cook and Scott Fishbowl, is a must own for me. That's all I'm going to say. If you have Delvin Cook, you have to get Alexander Mattison. It's a must. And going off that, Kalen Ballage, I think, is a late round guy because Kenyon Drake has been known to not be the healthiest man. In college, he seemed to get hurt all the time. He had some major injuries. Kalen Ballage looked to catch fire, especially against the Minnesota Vikings up here. He had a heck of a game. I think 16 carries, 100 plus yards, he had a long touchdown. He is a guy that can get those big bonuses. He is a fast guy that can run in a straight line. He can catch some balls. So that is a guy I am keeping my eyes on in the Miami backfield. And Mike Gesicki in the same team. I think Gesicki in that system, you were talking about how they run out of the slot. Albert Wilson.
With Chad also, O'Shea.
Yep. And you got Gesicki, who a lot of people compared to Gronk last year coming out. The athletic measures and how big he is, and just he may have been a little raw. He actually, I think he added some weight this season. It might have been 10 pounds he added of muscle and trying to get himself a little healthier. But Gesicki is a guy where I would like to have as a second or third tight end in the Scott Fishbowl, and hopefully he comes out as a winner.
Yeah, and Sam, I agree with you on Damian Harris. I was, after the Patriots drafted him, I know a lot of people initially were like, oh, well, that just killed his career. And then if you look at it the other side of the coin, with all the things that have been going on with Michelle in the offseason with his knee, I like Damian Harris quite a bit. So I agree with you 1,000,000% on that take with Damian Harris. And I'm a Patriots fan, so I've got a little bit of that homer information, but I like Damian Harris quite a bit. So that is going to wrap us up for our Scott Fishbowl episode. Before we wrap up, and we'll send Stompy out here in a minute, and he'll give a shout out to all his stuff. I did want to give a shout out to my fantasy league, who does host the Scott Fishbowl. They do an excellent job. So if you're looking to get into dynasty leagues and hosting, MFL is where it's at. But before we go, Sam, give us this is your shameless plug section. Tell us where to follow you, what you got going on. If you want to make that last championship smack talk pitch, feel free. The stage is yours.
All right. So you can follow me on Twitter at FF Stompy. You could also search SFB8 champion. I'll just pop up. you can, I am the co-host of the Superflex Super Show on the DLF family of podcasts. Follow that at Superflex Show on Twitter. Follow my co-hosts John Hogue at Superflex Dude and James the Brain at _ James the Brain. And then I also co-host the Dynasty Diagnostic on the Dynasty Trade Calculator family of podcasts, or Dynasty Trade Calculator Network, with Eitan Mosia. You can find us at Dino Diagnostic on Twitter, and then Eitan is at Eitan Mosia on Twitter. And then all of my written work is at FF Statistics. Like I said, go pay a dollar, goes to a good cause with Fantasy Cares, and you get all of the players from the FF Statistics database with SFB9 scoring. So that should help you with your drafts. And also, we have started a Patreon there. So if you want to help us out and get access to all of the awesome data that we put out there, go ahead and find us on Patreon. You can also subscribe to the website. I believe it's $45 a year. And I believe that's everything. And also, I'm better than all of you. I am the reigning champion, and I'm going to win again.
We shall see who wins the Game of Thrones, my friend. Who plays it well?
I had to give a shout out to Stompy, because we've had many guests on before, And he has done what I like to do if I guest on a show. Give his co-host a shout out, because Doug, Justin, Tim, and Stompy, as well, your co-host, we can't be us without you.
Oh, there's that Minnesota.
Thanks, man.
I love that.
There's that Minnesota. What a guy. Well, with that said, we are going to wrap it up this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. Couple real quick things. Check out our Patreon page as well. You can search Dynasty Happy Hour. We give you an extra episode a week, as well as some exclusive discounts on apparel and gear. Check out fantasycares.net. That's what it's all about. You know, Scott and everyone raised almost $50,000 last year. We're looking to blow by that number this year. We want to make the Scott Fish Bowl and Fantasy Cares Net as big as humanly possible. We want it to be that snowball that starts at the top of the mountain, and then it just destroys the town at the bottom because it gets so big.
Shout out to all of our writers, our rankers, and everybody. They actually took their money this month, and they decided to put it into Fantasy Cares. So the DHH family, very generous of you guys to actually just, you know, it's not much, but you decided, hey, let's take our money for our articles and ranking. And even our wonderful editor, Jacob Henry, who everybody calls Boss Man, pretty much. I mean, that dude, people are terrified of, because he's such a vicious editor, which is why our articles are pristine and awesome. Everybody decided to put it into Fantasy Care. So I want to say a thank you to all of you guys.
Cool. Tyler, I'm going to wrap up now. Is that cool? You want to interrupt me again?
Wow, maybe I'm not going to thank Doug next time I get...
All right.
Stompy, wow, if I come on your...
Jerk.
Yeah, right?
You don't have to deal with this every week.
When you come on to Dynasty Diagnostic, I'm going to say, and thanks, not thanks to Doug, yeah. Dougie Fresh, Doug Edie.
I'll just be like, thank you, Justin and Tim.
And Tim.
Stompy, am I forgetting anybody? Fine. No?
No.
No, not at all. No.
Okay, yeah, sounds right.
Hey, Doug, I feel for you, man. I always close out the Dynasty Life Pod, and closing out a good conversation with good people is always hard to do. But I think we're at like, what, an hour and something, hour plus. So yeah, I totally hear you.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily a time thing. Like, we can go late. I don't care. It's the when I'm getting into the breakdowns feel and trying to end it on a high note. And then Tyler just is like, oh, and by the way, I'd like to thank my cat for peeing on the carpet today.
Like, it's awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Him interrupting your flow. That's it.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's like he's trying to battle rap me like at the end of these shows. And it just, oh, it's terrible. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Code DHH ring. Code DHH10 for ultimatedraftkit.com. We'll see you next week. Best of luck in Scott Fishbowl, everyone. Fantasycares.net. Let's do it.
You're going to lose.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather. Tim at DHH_Tim. Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.